You're listening to Life in Deep Ellum's podcast.
Hey everyone, I don't know if you were able to catch our digital service on Sunday, but we showed you guys a Zoom call with about 10 to 12 people from our faith community, and it was a powerful conversation about race. Now, I had the painful task of taking about 2 hours and editing it down to 20, 25 minutes, so I had to cut a lot of really good stuff, but thankfully, we can offer some of this stuff that got cut to you through Instagram and here on this podcast. And I wanted to highlight a story that a buddy of mine, Damani, told. Now, Damani, we go way back. We went to college together. He served here on staff at Life in Deep Ellum. Him and his wife have been attending here for a while. I actually got to officiate their wedding. And he talked about how the pandemic sent him and his wife to live where she grew up in white West Texas. And I would like to offer the perspective that his story is emblematic of what could be a potential deep and profound transformation that is happening in our country. I'll let Damani speak to that.
My hope is actually birthed out of a frustration from being in rural West Texas. It's been like the lowest, I'm not gonna say the lowest lows, there've been some moments that have caused me to go. And then there've also been some really great moments of power. One of the moments that was not the greatest, I was working out at my mother-in-law's store, my mother and father-in-law's store, and I was working late because I had some work to do, and the internet is better there than anywhere else because hashtag rural Texas. And Heather said to me, hey, I don't want you to stay out after, I don't want you to stay at the store after dark. Now, to paint the picture, the town is about 8,000 people total, and you are no more than 10 minutes from anywhere, like at all. And so they live right outside of town. You drive into town on Main Street. It's everything you think about a Main Street, right? So their store is on Main Street. And my wife said, I don't want you to stay out there too late. I was on average staying out there till like 11 midnight because I just had work to get done. And she said, I don't want you to stay later than my mom, dad, or I stay. And this is my wife that said this. And I understood why she said it. She said it because coming out of the door at midnight, no one in this small town works on Main Street after 6 o'clock, right? But it was so frustrating that she, in looking out for me, with every anti-racist, not racist, every anti-racist bone in her body, still felt the need to say, hey, don't stay out late because ... who knows what could happen. But the hope that came out of that is, you know, we've been out there for 4 months, which is a long time. And I have watched my wife have conversations that she could not have had in the quick hits that we get when we go out there for the holidays or we go out there for a birthday. It's 6.5 hours away, so we're not doing this often. And the way it manifested itself most powerfully for me, there were two instances. One was something super small. My mother-in-law for Blackout Tuesday changed the profile picture of their store to a black square. And that seems so small, right? But if microaggressions can be so devastating, I feel like micro successes can also be as rallying. And so that was huge. And like, I didn't even know. I was out of town when she did it. And I was like, and Heather showed me, and I was like, wait, what's that? So that's number one. Number two, also involving my mother-in-law. She also put up a Juneteenth post, which was, that about floored me. Then she was telling Heather and I, she's recounting a story where my aunt-in-law, if that's a thing, had come to her and said, hey, I just really want to talk to you. And my aunt-in-law is a strong believer, leads the Bible study, like all the things. And she said, I just want to talk to you, something that's really been, you know, I've been praying a lot and just been thinking a lot. And I just want to talk to you. And then she started crying, apparently. And so when my mother-in-law is recounting this story, I'm like, oh God, where is this going? And she recounted, my aunt-in-law recounted a story that Denise, my mother-in-law, had said to her. And she Diane, through tears, said to Denise, I was thinking the other day about the fact that you told me that there are conversations that Damani is going to have with his boys, that Johnny, my brother-in-law, with his blonde hair, blue-eyed, white boy, will never have to have. And she said, you know, when I post All Lives Matter, I genuinely am saying, you know, I believe that I'm saying all lives matter because we're made in the image of God, the things that listen, like we are all made in the image of God. Like that's what she said that she believed she was espousing. But she said it really hit home for her when she realized that duality of people that were right in front of her, that she sees on a regular basis, that I am absolutely going to talk to Ezekiel and Isaac about how to deal with cops, how to deal with a traffic stop, how to deal with what it looks like when you walk into a environment when it is very obvious that you are not white, right? Like what to do in those environments. And the fact that, I don't know what comes of that, like, but the fact that that was a prompt that moved her was powerful. And then the last thing, my father-in-law is a fantastic man who he lives currently 30 minutes away from where he grew up and has only ever lived 30 minutes away from where he grew up, right? He was in a conversation with someone recently, with a friend of his recently, and the topic of Black Lives Matter came up, and his friend said to him, well, you know, it's just the niggers that are just doing this. And I'm using the word on purpose. He said, it's just the niggers that are making this all a problem. And I wasn't there, but my sister-in-law tells me that my father-in-law is like 5'9", maybe 10. And my father-in-law got in the face of this 6'4", 6'5" man and said, I don't want to ever hear those words come out of your mouth again. Do you understand me? And there was the immediate, what I call pearl clutching that happens. Oh, goodness, I am so incredibly sorry. I would not have said it. I know how offensive that is, that it's not something I should be saying as a Christian, yada, 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 yada. But those moments where, you know, I've been in the family for 9 years and they've never done anything that has been racist to me at all, but to see them actively becoming anti-racist is really freaking cool. Mm-hmm. It's really freaking cool. Like the transition from not racist, I'm not racist, to nah, bro, we ain't doing that. We're not, that's not a thing that we're gonna do around here has been encouraging. I hope that it doesn't take 9 years for those conversations to happen for multiple other people, but that's been where my encouragement has come. It's been out of a small town of 8,000 people in the middle of the West Texas panhandle.
I'm so grateful for Damani sharing his experience with us. And guys, I think it's obvious something is happening. Like, we can speculate about all the reasons why, oh, it's social media, it's bringing a greater sense of accountability, or there's this greater awareness that our society is evolving, or the pandemic, that it's a pandemic, it's forcing us to listen. Whatever the reasons, it's probably all of them. But something is clearly happening. And here's my question for you. How can you be a part of keeping this conversation going? Like, it seems we're at a tipping point, right, in our culture. But that doesn't mean that there aren't forces that would love to shut this conversation down. And not just forces out there. I'm not like trying to point fingers. I think there are forces inside of us, inside of me, forces that would love to avoid discomfort, a desire to, quote unquote, get back to normal. What is that normal? But a place where covert racism can quietly live amongst us again? No, I don't think we can go back. So here's my question. How can you be a part of keeping this conversation going? I love you guys. Peace.